we represent science. We are some of the top scientists in the world that are working on climate change. And our main takeaway is that the combination of modest warming combined with increasing CO2 are leading to hugely beneficial effects on our ecosystems, and it's benefiting the human condition as a result. And we should celebrate this.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a very special guest today, a returning guest. I think the last time we interviewed him, we were at the 48th Billy Schlafly's Eagle Summit in Missouri. So we're very glad to have him back. His name is Gregory Wrightstone. He's a geologist. He's also the executive director of the CO2 Coalition. If you're not familiar with this organization yet, you should be. It's a phenomenal alliance of scientists and experts who are sounding the alarm about the man-made global warming extremism, and also highlighting some of the benefits of CO2, which many scientists have referred to as the gas of life. It's, of course, the gas we exhale. Gregory, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you back again. Obviously, the extremism, the hysteria is really getting cranked up a notch. Now it's at the point where administration officials are asking big tech companies to silence people. You guys, in fact, are being silenced. I think several of your key members have been kicked off of LinkedIn and other platforms. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, I was banned permanently recently. I find it rather funny. You got to laugh. The first time they kicked me off LinkedIn was last October. My very last post, I said, I think I'm about to be banned and deplatformed by LinkedIn. They removed it, called it false and misleading, and then banned and deplatformed me. Now you got to laugh at something. I mean, it was so ironic. And after, in June, I petitioned, or July, petitioned to get back on. They said, well, okay, if you behave. I said, I'll be a good boy. And it didn't take long before the ban says permanent ban. So I've been banned permanently. Our PR guy was taken down from LinkedIn. Our economics associate was taken down. They took down the CO2 Coalition LinkedIn page. We get shadow banned on Facebook. It just continues. They want to silence us in particular because we represent science. We are some of the top scientists in the world that are working on climate change. And our main takeaway is that the combination of modest warming combined with increasing CO2 are leading to hugely beneficial effects on our ecosystems, and it's benefiting the human condition as a result. And we should celebrate this.
Yeah. I interviewed Dr. Will Happer at a conference we both spoke at. He eventually became Trump's climate advisor. And one of the things he said has stuck with me ever since. He said, you know, the plants seem to be designed to live in an atmosphere with 4 to 5 times as much CO2 as we have right now. That's why so many farmers pump it into their greenhouses. And yet here we are being told by the scientific institutions, the governments, the United Nations, that this demon molecule is going to kill us all if it increases in concentration. Gregory, what kind of dangerous misinformation is so dangerous that people can't even see it on social media, that you guys have to be banned and deplatformed, and maybe next we'll burn you at the stake for spreading this kind of dangerous information?
Well, it appears for LinkedIn, what really triggered them for me was posting. I'm a geologist, so I look at long-term data of millions, thousands and millions of years. And I looked at taking CO2 levels back to the beginning of the Cambrian period, some 600 million years ago. And it shows that CO2 levels back then were 7,500 or 8,000 parts per million, 20 times what they are today. The average CO2 levels on Earth throughout Earth's history have averaged about 2,600 parts per million. Now, bear in mind, we're at a little under 420 today. But the average was 6.5 times what that was. And these plants evolved during this period of high CO2. And of course, you can remember from middle school that the photosynthesis, that CO2 is a fertilizer. The three things you need for photosynthesis: water, sunlight, and CO2. And the more CO2, the better. We're doing a paper right now on CO2 and nutrition, because those that oppose, those are the climate industrial complex. They like to say, well, they can't deny that CO2 is driving increasing vegetation and crop growth. It's just undeniable. But now they're saying, well, yeah, but it's causing a loss in nutrition. That, you know, more CO2, well, yeah, you'll grow a lot more food, but it'd be less nutritious. And so we're doing a paper with our experts right now to push back on this. And also related, we'll have to talk about at some point this new war that they call CO2 the demon molecule. We've got a new demon molecule. It's nitrous oxide, N2O. Nitrous oxide is the primary component of fertilizer, nitrogen-based fertilizer that's used around the world that probably is responsible for 60% of crops, of the growth of crops, of using nitrogen. And they want to ban this. And so if we look at CO2, we've got the experts to fight back against this notion of lower nutrition. And again, we've got another paper that hopefully we'll have done in 2 weeks or so, led by Will Happer. He's the primary author. And some of our other experts are in this, looking at nitrous oxide and nitrogen. And he's looking at the warming effect of this. And they're saying, well, excess nitrogen is driving catastrophic temperature rises that are unprecedented in thousands of years. Well, he took a look at it, and we admit that both nitrous oxide and CO2 and methane are greenhouse gases, and they have some warming effect on the atmosphere. Just that we believe they're very modest and overwhelmed by natural forces. And he says, we're looking at this, he's using some IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, their numbers say that nitrogen increases the way we're going right now by the year 2100 will increase temperatures. Now, you're sitting down, I hope, but it's going to increase temperature by 1/10 of 1 degree by 2100.
Oh, well, that's my goodness.
Isn't that scary?
I'm terrified. I'm quaking in my boots.
All right, we must stop. So what they want to do to prevent 1/10 of 1 degree of warming is, by what they're doing, advancing anti-fertilizer agenda, it's going to lead to famine and starvation and likely millions of deaths. If we saw what happened recently in Sri Lanka, when Sri Lanka went said we're going to get rid of nitrogen-based fertilizer, and the entire economic system collapsed. They're doing it in the Netherlands, where they're proposing taking over 50% of the farms. And Canada now is trying to adopt the same thing, this anti-nitrogen. Our experts tell me that crop growth and nitrogen, the nitrogen fertilizer, is responsible for about 60% of the crop growth. You take that away, we need that. We're able to feed the world's, the billions of people around the world, because of the combination of increased technology. GMO has been a huge benefit. If we look in India, without genetically modified crops, they went through thousands of years of famine and drought. Now we've got GMO drought-resistant crops, and they're able to produce huge amounts in India because of this. And then we've got that turbocharged. We've got modest warming. It's warmed about 0.8 of a degree since 1900. Again, that doesn't sound too alarming to me. We get more change in temperature between noon and 2 p.m. every day, and they're worried about that. So the combination of modest warming combined with increasing CO2 is driving crop growth. We're breaking records year after year, even the warm countries like India. We have a video we'll be releasing the next few days on agriculture. It was filmed in India by our research associate, Vijay Jayaraj. It's just a wonderful film documenting what's going on in this really, really warm country of India. And again, it's being driven by CO2 increases. And we should celebrate that. I call it the biggest untold story of the late 20th and early 21st century, is this greening of the earth and the prospering of the earth. So it's because of this, we're able to feed the world. What they want to do is their campaign against fossil fuels and coal. What they're going to do with that is destine billions of people to continuous generational energy poverty. There are billions of people around the world, mostly Africa and India, Southeast Asia, that have no access to electricity, which means they have to cook over dried dung and wood and inside their homes. Terrible things that are associated with that. And what we should do is be promoting electricity generation using all forms of energy, including coal and natural gas and nuclear, and lift these people up out of energy poverty.
Yeah, fascinating story. So basically, the molecule we exhale, dangerous toxic pollution. The molecule that makes our crops grow, dangerous toxic pollution. But what's not dangerous and toxic is electric cars and more carbon credits for Al Gore. Truly amazing. So the UN is hosting the upcoming COP27, the UN Climate Summit. They do it every year. Our team will be there. I will be there. And, you know, we've witnessed this get progressively more extreme, progressively more intense, progressively more draconian demands on the United States. Of course, the Chinese are not doing this, and more power to them. They'd be insane to do this. But America needs to destroy its economy. America needs to destroy its industrial base. America needs to destroy its electricity grid, because somehow this is going to save us from global warming. Truly amazing. What do you expect to see over the coming years if they're able to silence all the scientists who are trying to speak out, if they're able to continue driving this narrative? What should we expect in Egypt out of this UN summit, and what should we expect out of the Biden administration?
Continue alarmism, continual just craziness, continual economic destruction for the Western world. All the while, China, India, Brazil, Russia keep increasing their CO2 emissions. I'm okay with that, because
if you
look at the back of my truck, I've got a bumper sticker that says, I love CO2. And our pull-up banner we've got sitting right out here, it says, we love CO2 and so should you. That's kind of our motto. So we just champion the benefits of more carbon dioxide. But I'm very, very optimistic. When I talk to people about the general population, not our politicians, the Republicans seem to just want to go a light green instead of a dark green. We can't spend, $3 trillion. We just want to spend $800 billion to solve a non-existent problem.
The conservative solution to climate change. Mm-hmm.
That just angers me. These faux conservatives, I'm not going to name them, but I'm not going to call them out, but you know who they
Mitch
are.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah, I'll name them.
Okay, please do. And there are a few of them, but I'm positive. I'm very optimistic about the population as a whole. As I travel around the country and talk to just random people, and I talk about climate all the time. So, I'll pull out my smartphone app, which is Inconvenient Facts. It's free, and you get all the facts in the palm of your hand to get that information. But I travel around, I talk to people. People are just thirsty for this information they've never seen or heard. They don't know. People don't know that fires in lower 48 of the United States are currently, both area burned and number of fires, are 20% of what they were 80 years ago. People go, what? And then you show them the data. Or that extinctions, we're not entering the sixth great extinction. Extinctions have been in significant decline since the early 20th century. Despite the UN claiming 1 million species to go extinct over the next several decades, you need 25,000 per year going extinct. The average for the last 40 years is 2 extinctions per year, not 200, not 2,000, 2. So they propose this false climate catastrophe narrative, and we can easily disprove many of these things.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've noticed is they're really targeting the children. I think they realize that for a lot of older Americans with still some common sense who got a decent education, we're not going to buy into this idea that we're exhaling toxic pollution that we need to pay tax on. But the UNESCO, the UN Education Agency, they just put out a report this summer saying that dangerous conspiracy theories need to be battled in the schools. And as examples of these dangerous conspiracy theories, they had the idea that man is not causing catastrophic global warming. And they said it's so dangerous because people might not want to reduce their carbon footprint as much. Can you imagine the horror? So you guys are tackling this issue. I understand you now have produced some resources for children. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're about ready to roll it out. We've completed our first two books. They're done It's called manga. It's like anime. We've completed. We'll be rolling that out. You can go look at our first four videos. Again, those are done anime style. It's teaching science to school children and without the alarmism. And so go to CO2 Learning Center on the YouTube channel. I'm so proud of what we've done. And we're just a team of, these are all PhDs. You'd think they're eggheads and they shouldn't, but what they have accomplished is amazing. We have a talented Brazilian artist. Again, he does these in anime and manga style. And the children, just the people that we have seen, these just love the books. And we've got lesson plans that were drawn up by Dr. Sharon Camp. She's an analytic chemistry. She taught AP and wrote AP curricula as a teacher. And so we've got these lesson plans that go along with this. And we'll roll this all out on our new website that should be active by the end of October.
Fantastic. Yeah, it is so sorely needed. For the folks out there who follow education, I mean, the next generation science standards brought to you by the same clowns that put together Common Core. You'll spend 12 years learning science in school, and you will never once learn the scientific method if they follow these so-called exactly. next generation science standards. So this is so sorely needed. Before we let you go, Gregory, you know, we keep hearing that that we need the next round of lockdowns for saving the climate, that the COVID lockdowns were really good for humanity because they helped us stop global warming. Do you think they really would go there? I mean, are we really at risk of losing our freedoms and our prosperity under the guise of saving us from man-made climate change?
We are. The greater risk is just the loss of our prosperity through idiotic pursuit of a false Green New Deal and false trying to solve the non-existent crisis that they say is occurring.
Wow, pretty amazing stuff. Well, hey, we'll look forward to checking back in with you as the UN moves forward, as we keep reporting on this. Thank you very much, Gregory Wrightstone, for joining us today. Great insight. What's the best website for people to find you?
Go to co2coalition.org, co2coalition.org. We got a lot of great stuff. You'll learn on our blog post. Vijay Jayaraj of India writes a lot about energy poverty in the developing world. It's an important topic that's not talked about much.
Excellent. All right, very good. Well, Gregory Wrightstone, thank you so much for joining us, Executive Director of the CO2 Coalition. Folks out there, thank you for watching. My name is Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Share this out there, folks. You know the fascist social media companies are not going to help us get this true information out to the folks. So grab that link, share it out with your friends, share it with your family, your neighbors, your state representatives, your congressmen. It's critical that we get the information out there, or the narrative that we're facing catastrophic man-made global warming because of CO2 is going to continue to dominate the headlines. Only you can help combat climate misinformation. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.